we asked a room of all the juvenile court judges in the state of Georgia how many of them learned about trauma when they were in law school, and not one of them raised their hands.
My name is Jennifer Elkins. I'm an associate professor at the University of Georgia School of Social Work. Trauma is much more messy and complex than we realize.
My name is Emma Hetherington. I'm an assistant clinical professor at the University of Georgia School of Law. I'm also the director of the Will Banks Child Endangerment and Sexual Exploitation Clinic, which is a teaching clinic where law students get to help represent real-life clients.
Our deans conspired.
We were set up on a blind date
a
by
little
our
bit,
deans.
A little bit. Dean Shiat and Dean Rutledge really kind of did, I think, what is the fantasy and the fear of all faculty, which is they, I think, got to chatting.
I think it was at the CEES conference.
Oh, yeah. And I think they just started talking about the overlap and just kind of threw the two of us together and let us do whatever we wanted, sort of.
However, I've never met her before.
However, I will say that in my experience, the personality and the type of person who wants to do work in the area of sexual abuse and sexual violence, like, I wasn't surprised that we clicked, because that's been my experience in that line of work, is that it's almost always a very close-knit group of folks cross-discipline, because it's just a very similar type of person. I have no evidence base for that other than just my lived
Jennifer
experience.
Always says I'm more of a social worker than a lawyer.
You're an honorary social worker. Yeah. I had a few moments during the mock trial this past weekend where I wanted to, I felt like for the first time in a very long time, like this burning desire to like be a social worker and use props. They talked about using props and I'm like, this is so awesome. No wonder why law students are all excited about being lawyers.
In working with victims of trauma, it's really important that you provide holistic representation. And in order to do so, mm-hmm. I believe that lawyers have an ethical obligation. It's under our rules of ethics as counselors for our clients that if there are services that our clients need that are outside of our legal expertise, we need to be working with those professionals. And our rules specifically list social workers as some of those professionals that we may need to reach out to and giving them advice. Sometimes the advice is going to go outside of your legal expertise, and knowing when that is and when to seek other professionals.
But your holistic perspective is not the norm often in legal representation, right?
No. Yeah. And it's something now that is being added to curriculum in law schools, but it's something that is still very much lacking. I teach a lot about trauma. I make sure that I teach about not just trauma in our clients, but secondary trauma for our students, because as lawyers, in a lot of ways, we are
first responders.
Yeah, we're almost first responders almost. Mm-hmm. When I'm representing someone in a trial where sexual abuse is at issue, I might be dealing with really graphic medical records, pictures, forensic interviews, things like that. And I mean, I remember one of my first cases as an attorney, as a young attorney, 26 years old, and I was handed this case file where there was some very severe incest happening in the family, and I had no idea how to process that. That was not something that was taught to me. It was, you're an attorney, you're a professional, you keep on your game face, you do your job, and that was it. But how that would personally affect me was something that I was not quite prepared for. So one of my goals as a professor and as the director of the CEES clinic is to teach my students how to recognize the signs of secondary trauma and how to say it's okay to be a little vulnerable and it's okay to be upset, because these topics are very upsetting.
The contrast often is that, you know, although we're graduating master's and social work students who are the same age, they often get hit over the head on secondary trauma and self-care. And yet, what's often overlooked and what we don't get any type of knowledge about is interacting with the legal system and with lawyers and with courts in general, what the standard is, unless it's a professor who's worked in child protective services, is avoid talking to lawyers and avoid courts at all costs. I was taught, my first experience as a social worker, 6 months on the job, I knew nothing, I was overwhelmed by everything.
I love this story.
I got served with a subpoena, and I was told to go home and avoid the subpoena. And it wasn't until a few months ago, so 20 years, I never even realized, like, oh, you can't do that. You can't avoid a subpoena. It doesn't work like that.
Well, then you should also talk about the first time you testified, because of that subpoena, because this is when yeah. Jennifer and I first met, we talked through some of our stereotypes of each other's profession. Right.
But yeah, so my first experience on the witness stand was working with a young mom who's trying to regain custody of her daughter and was subpoenaed to testify. And I didn't even know who all the stakeholders were. I was interviewed on the witness stand by the mom's attorney. And then the attorney for DFACS comes up. And I'm at this point, I am on the same page with DFACS in that I didn't think the mom was ready yet to reunify. And they kept asking me all these hardball questions to make me look bad. I'm like, I don't understand. Why are you making me look bad? I'm like 22 years old, fresh out of grad school. It's not going to take a lot of work to make me look like I'm a professional. I don't know what I'm doing. So I felt like I was getting cross-examined, like on the TV show. I was so disappointed that I didn't enjoy my first courtroom experience because I loved, I loved the courtroom movies and the TV shows and the books, and I was all excited. So yeah, I hated lawyers and courtrooms ever since because it was such a miserable experience. And then when we first met,
fast forward 20 years, Jennifer tells me this story.
And she starts laughing.
And I laugh because what the Child Protective Services or DFACS attorney was doing was they were trying to establish her as an expert.
Yeah.
So all of those questions that they were asking her were really just to qualify her as an expert so that they could get the testimony they wanted out of her in court and that it would be admissible as expert opinion. Mm-hmm. And the thing is that best practices, that attorney who should have called Jennifer ahead of time and talked to her and said, here are the questions I'm going to ask you. This is why I'm going to ask you these questions. And not only that, that attorney should have said, what questions do you think I should ask?
Right.
Because lawyers, I hate to stereotype lawyers because people do it all the time. And
no.
I don't think they're always true. But one thing that I think that is a weakness of lawyers is ego. And sometimes thinking, we know everything. And we know what we're doing. We're the professionals here. We know what we're talking about. Mm-hmm. And we are not the experts. I am not an expert in trauma. I do not consider myself an expert in trauma. I think it's something that I know a lot about. I think it's something that I research and I study and that I practice, but I do not think that is my area. I am a lawyer.
Your instincts still at your core are, as much as your knowledge is, your instincts are still like lawyer.
Yes, I'm still a lawyer. And so I need to talk to a social work professional who can fully explain trauma to a court and to me, and for me to better understand evaluations or assessments of my clients, for me to better understand what my client is going through, for me to have more empathy in the system because I don't always fully grasp what is going on. And then for my expert witness to come in and to say, well, you really need to be asking me this question in this way because this is what's actually happening with this family is really important.
So Emma's first reaction when I shared this and she told me this was, from a lawyer perspective, of shock that I was that no one ever spoke to me, and surprise. And that led to kind of a conversation about the things we wish we had known, right? Like, I remember it stands out in my mind, Emma saying that, you know, that she had spoken to experts afterwards, and they're like, if only the lawyer had asked me this, if only they'd asked me that. And that's what led to, you know, I think that the role plays in social work are very organic and not very well planned. And in law school, the mock trials I see as a similar thing, only everything is very detail oriented and well planned and structured. And kind of that initial conversation of our kind of talking about the gaps that we had in our education and what we wished we had known kind of led to our idea for an interdisciplinary mock trial.
The gaps that you see in practice where that collaboration could be strengthened has a lot more to do with that training of people ahead of time, training with students ahead of time and saying, these other professions are here, here's what they know, and here are ways that you can better collaborate with them for your client. It's gaining trial skills is a huge component of this. So getting used to being in a courtroom, speaking to judges, cross-examining and direct examination of witnesses. The really important piece here for them is to learn how to have a trauma-informed legal practice and really recognizing trauma that your clients might be experiencing or other parties might be experiencing, and then how you can adjust your litigation strategy, adjust your relationship with your client to be trauma-informed. So, for example, one thing that you might see typically with clients in the legal system when they have experienced that complex trauma is you might see behaviors such as in the courtroom, a lot of looking down, not directly answering questions. Maybe they're kind of, I've seen this before where a mother keeps continuously messing with her hair, putting it up, taking it down, putting it up, taking it down. Mm-hmm. It can be perceived as, well, this person's being really rude. This person is coming across with all these behaviors that are just disrespectful of the court, disrespectful of the system. But someone who is trauma-informed might see that and say, this person is really nervous. And mm-hmm. they have been through all these experiences that have accumulated to this complex trauma. And this isn't them being rude. This is them maybe trying to self-soothe, re-traumatizing a proceeding, mm-hmm. recognizing that, and then saying, okay, so how can I, ahead of time, ahead of court, make my client feel better prepared, calmer, more informed? A really big part of being a trauma-informed attorney is helping give your client agency, helping your client feel self-empowered,
yep.
and guiding them through that process. And so, for example, a client-centered approach makes the client part of that decision-making process. And that is trauma-informed. And I think there is a movement now that has been going on for a while now mm-hmm. to move more towards those client-centered approaches, but very old profession, mm-hmm. and it takes a long time and being more trauma-informed, but it is something that is taking time to catch up.
But I think that the challenge also is that, the concepts of trauma-informed care are very intuitive and they make sense, right? Like safety, collaboration, choice, empowerment, being culturally responsive and having cultural humility, et cetera. But none of that matters if you don't have the substantive knowledge of trauma itself. If you don't understand what trauma is and how it has an impact, then you're not going to see that connection between like a classic example that you see even amongst social workers of why is this woman who is in an abusive relationship always returning to. And so it's not just about these overarching principles. The best way I've seen trauma-informed care explained to me is trauma-informed care is just like a different lens of viewing the world through the lens of trauma and really changing the soil that things grow out of. The perspective is to avoid lawyers and avoid courts as much as possible. So with that in mind, part of it is the concern that you're going to be, damaging your professional relationship with your client by testifying. I don't think that's just it. I think it's that because we don't learn about it in school, we're often trained by folks who've had bad experiences. And it's folks like myself who would be training that next generation. So I think it's like the fruit of the poisonous tree a little bit. And for me, what was important is realizing like the things that we're doing to avoid court are damaging our clients and actually preventing us from being and engaging in effective advocacy. That's one of the things I've appreciated most about this collaboration is in all frankness, it didn't truly click for me until our first mock trial. And we had a real juvenile court judge presiding. And in his judgment, he kind of explained his rationale and his reasoning for, why he was going to rule in the way he did, which was on behalf of, it was a termination of parental rights hearings for both a mother and a father. And from my perspective, I was highly invested in the mom not having her rights terminated. And his judgment was in favor of the mother not terminating her parental rights. And almost 100% of his decision rested in the testimony of the mom's therapist. And it was the same for the social work students participating and the social work students in the audience. It was, and I'm not exaggerating, a transformative moment, because it wasn't until that moment both myself and my students realized, oh my God, like that's a lot of power. And it was this revelation that like by avoiding courtroom, we're actually losing an opportunity to be a zealous advocate, and to use the word of lawyers and being zealous, we're losing the opportunity to engage in advocacy in the system where we actually have the most power